here's the thought that kind of drives what we're talking about today. This is how to create a culture of evangelism in the life of your church so that evangelism naturally happens in every environment when you're gathered and with all of your people when they're scattered. And so this is not a program. It's not a Monday night visitation. It's not a tool like a specific track, like three circles. This is a way to put together a plan and a process to develop a culture of evangelism in your church. And so we'll walk through this here in just a minute. But just to kind of get us started, this is going to be the heartbeat of everything that we do over the next several months. But tell you a little bit about our team. I think we've got their pictures to throw up here for the evangelism team. Let's see if it's working. Is it working? Oh, there we go. So, just so you know, just the evangelism team at North American Mission Board, we're here to serve you and help in any way that we can and your churches. You see, Shane Pruitt is our Gen Sin National Director, working mainly with high school students and student leaders. If you haven't already engaged with Shane in the ministry for students, it's phenomenal. Just Paul Wooster is our National Collegiate Director. And is doing a phenomenal job in our collegiate world. JJ, that you heard speak, is over personal evangelism. Catherine, over women's evangelism. We'll talk more about that at the end today. And then Mark Kovacovic is the National Director of Ethnic Evangelism. And so we have, this kit is in Spanish. Obviously, we've got it right here on the first few rows. But then also, we're going to have this, the training manual translated into 35 different languages. So it's going to be available to a lot of different people groups in a lot of different languages. Now, one thing you can do to find out all things evangelism as it relates to the North American Mission Board is subscribe to the Evangelism Newsletter. You can use the QR code on here, or you can just text newsletter to 888-123, and you can get on the list. And anytime we do an update, testimonial, add to this in some way, you will get the information directly sent to you, and it's just a great way to keep engaged and up to date on everything. Another way that you can communicate with us is just evangelism@nam.net. You got a question, you got a request, you got something you need in your church for evangelism, that's the best way to get in touch with us. Just email it directly to our team. We'll address it ASAP. So I know you can go straight through NAM, but it may take a little bit longer to get to us. This goes straight to us. And so I hope you'll save that and be a part of it. Now, when it comes to the kit, there's one other way that you can engage people in the kit, and that's an online course. So everything that's in this box is online at namevangelism.com. You can see it'll come up, just says take this course. You can click on it, you can sign up and register, and somebody can walk through the course. And what we teach in live training events is video online and walks them through the entire kit. So for example, if you're doing this with a group of leadership in your church, you want them all to go through it, they can do that online, and you can gather them together, see what you've learned. I have a conversation, a cohort conversation about how to apply that in the life of your church. And so those are some of the things that are available to you to help you with this. Now, I'm just looking at the kit. Let me just walk through what you have here. You look on the top right-hand side, you have a thumb drive, which has all the videos, all the resources, everything that we present live, they're on this. And so if you want to use it in your church, you can put stuff off. You can watch stuff. You don't have good access to the internet. You have it right there for your use. If you pull that next flap, you'll see a keychain. And on one side it says Psalm 85:6. And simply, Psalm 85:6 says this: "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" And this is our heartbeat. Evangelism is a matter of personal revival. When someone's walking with Jesus and you're close to him, you don't only have a heart for the Lord, but you have a heart for people to know the Lord. And your relationship will bubble over in your life so that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and that's what we're praying for. Praying for revival in the hearts of God's people, so we'll take the gospel to the ends of the earth. On the other side, practice as you go. And that's really the heartbeat of everything that we're talking about here. Because when you think about evangelism, so often when we see a need, our response is, let's have an emphasis. And so we're going to take September and October, we're going to emphasize evangelism, we're going to do special visitations, special outreach events. And then when October's over, everybody goes back to living as normal. That's really not what the goal here is. The goal here is for people in our church to have confidence, not in themselves, but in the gospel. So much confidence that it makes them comfortable sharing it with others, knowing that God still saves. He still works in the hearts of people. And so it's as they go. Because you think about it, you know, it's been said a long time, but it's really true. Church is like a football team. They get in the huddle, you call the play on Sunday, and then at the end of the day, let's go execute the play. And we're all over the place. And we encounter lost people throughout our lives all week long. If those people are going with intention to be lights in the darkness and have confidence in the gospel, comfortable in themselves to share it, we're going to see people come to know Jesus, right? So it's just as you go. Remind them as you go. It's not a special emphasis. It's not another program. You need another hour. None of that. Okay, this is training and preparing your people, creating a culture in the life of your church so that wherever you're at, wherever they're at, they know, man, I am here to share the hope of the gospel with the world. Then if you look on down, you'll see the four, the circle with the four elements: examine, embrace, engage, encourage. And we'll walk through those in just a minute. But underneath that tab, you'll see prayer cards, encouragement cards, and a little stand that you can put those on your desk just to remind you to keep praying, to keep thinking, to keep encouraging others in evangelism. And then on the left, and I know I'm doing this fast, but we've got limited time, so on the left, you have a NAM evangelism resource catalog. So those are the resources that we have presently when it comes to evangelism. Tools for people to utilize, like tracks or processes like Three Circles, Best News, Gospel Story. But these are tools that you can get from the North American Mission Board. And I want you to hear me on this. If you have a tool that you like to use in the life of your church, maybe it's something you developed. Maybe your church has developed it. Maybe it's something your state put together. Use it. If that's what you like to use, use it. It's not about that. But what we want you to know is here are the tools that we have available, and we want to help support you any way that we can. The next book is the book we're going to use today. It's called The NAM Evangelism Training Kit, our training guide. And I want to mark a couple of pages. And again, this is so high level because we just don't have the time to get into the details of it. But I want to give you an overview of what we're doing. So look in the back on page 26. Take this little white book, turn to page 26, and you'll see a roadmap. This is a roadmap for you to lay out a game plan for taking the gospel to your community, for creating a culture of evangelism in the life of your church. And there are four elements that are a part of it: examine, embrace, engage, and encourage. Okay? You'll see on the box, and you also see in here, that that's in a circle. And the reason is I want you to understand, when you start talking about evangelism in the life of the church, you can't ever move past it. I think so many times in the life of the church, as a pastor or a support staff member, and I focus on evangelism, we say, you know, our people are going to get tired of it, we're going to stop talking about it. But just let me remind you this. There's too much at stake for the church to forget her mission. Mm-hmm. The reason that God leaves us, the reason we are here as believers, once coming to Christ, is to take the gospel to the world. And that's the plan. It's always been there. And we have to continue to talk about it. Now, it doesn't mean that people are going to get tired of it, but they are going to get tired of it. And even as a pastor, you may hear back from them, may move on to something else. Where else do we go? All we've got is Jesus, right? We have to stay focused on Jesus. And what you've got to remember is this. And this is why I think so many believers become complacent in their faith. Mm. We forget what it's like to be lost. When I wake up in the morning, I often talk to myself, not because I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, but I talk to myself and say, okay, I'm 62. If I'm 62, if I've got everything I've got, but I don't have Jesus, and I live in my neighborhood, what would I want me to do to make sure I heard the gospel? Because listen, you have everything this world offers, You don't have Jesus, you got nothing. You have nothing this world offers, and you got Jesus, you got everything you need, right? We believe that. Well, we got to live that. We got to live it out. So, when you think about this whole idea of repeating this over and over again, listen, you can never tire, you ever give up. You just got to think about the lost man or woman that's just down the street or might pop into your church on Wednesday night or Sunday morning because of heartbreak in their own life. What they need is the gospel that God's implanted in your heart, has changed your life. They need that same salvation. You have to stay focused on it. So, that's why this creating culture is so important. Now, look at this first section. It's called examine. And it's an interesting place to start. It's a little different place to start, but it's important. We start with the life of the pastor and the staff. And the reason is, because so many guys, particularly after COVID, that I've talked to, said, man, how are you doing? You ask it enough, you finally get the right answer, or at least an honest answer. And a lot of them will say, man, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. You know? Anybody feel like that? Yeah, because we're always running. We've got so many demands on our time. And this is what I've learned. I've learned that a drowning man is very rarely interested in saving anyone else. You know? So, we need to know where we're at, personally. So, if you flip back up to page, it's just real simple. It's page 14, 13, 14, 15. There's an assessment that we just ask everyone to take. And it's real simple. It talks about your soul, talks about your family, it talks about your work, your church. And it's really just a spiritual inventory. We won't have time to do it in here today. But at some point, you can do this. And it just, it's what it is. It's not scientific. It's not comprehensive. Not meant to be. It's just something that we can hold a mirror up in front of our eyes and say, okay, let me take an honest look at where I am. Okay? And it's 10 questions. You just grade yourself 0 to 10. If you have all 10s, it's 100. 100 is pretty good. You know? That's a good score. You get a 50. You know? Anytime I came home with a 50, my mom said that's not good. Okay? So, it's still not good, but at least it lets us know where we need, where we're at, okay? When it comes to our soul, comes to our family, and then comes to our church. Now, when you think about it, you say, well, why is that so important? Because if you don't know where you're starting, you don't know how to get to where you want to go. And sometimes, oftentimes, the condition of our own soul, and maybe our own family, or in our own church, we don't have a proper perspective of where we're at. I'll give you an example. We were in the Midwest, and is that Oklahoma City? That's where we were, Oklahoma City. The assistant athletic director of University of Oklahoma is now a Baptist pastor. After 21 years at Oklahoma, he retired, became a pastor, small church, took that assessment, came up to me afterwards and said, if you had asked me walking in this room, he said, I brought two lay people with me, I'd have told you our church is evangelistic. I took that assessment and I realized, now we believe in evangelism, but there's not one place in our church that has an evangelistic culture. He said, it really helped me see the truth about where we're at. That's why we start there. You've got to know where you're at. So what we ask you to do is take the assessment, grade yourself. It's not for anybody else. We don't want you to put it on the wall of your church or, you know, publish it to people or get them say, you know, get a group together and say, I want to share with you my score. This is just so we see ourselves and where we're at in our churches. And then you just write down your scores at the top, and then you just, below that, of your soul, your family, your church, write down some things you're going to pray for. You're going to pray for strength and you pray for help or action plans for what you're going to do to try to change things. I mean, I'll give you a personal example really quick. About 10 years ago, I was praying in my office one Sunday while I was pastoring at the time, pastoring the same church, 31 years outside of Atlanta. And I'm praying, 6 o'clock in the morning, no one's at the church but me, and I'm thinking about lunch. That ever happened to you? I'm talking to the God of creation, who spoke this world into existence out of nothing. Okay, that God. And I'm thinking about lunch. And it hits me. And it's embarrassing. So I just get up, and I'm walking around my office saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know what you're dealing with here. Ain't much here, you know? And I decided, I gotta change this. This can't keep repeating itself. So, my action plan was, all right, I'm gonna discover what will help keep me focused on the God that saved my soul, made me his own, and is using me in this life for his purposes. So I started writing out, not in complete sentences, okay? This is what I'm gonna pray about that day. When I read the scripture, I write down what I'm learning, what I've read. And then when I get down to pray, I pray out loud. Mm-hmm. Okay? I still practice this. Mm-hmm. I pray out loud. Not so that God can hear, but so that I'll stay focused. Mm-hmm. I realize the weakness, action plan for a result that's different. And it helps me. Mm-hmm. Okay? May not help anybody else, but it helps me. Mm-hmm. I've heard of people say, man, I can't kneel down. I have to walk around. So I just walk around the whole time while I'm praying. I'm praying out loud. Okay? Whatever. But that's what you do in this soul, family, church action plan. You're taking an assessment, get a clear picture of where you're at, where your family's at, where your church is at. So you go, okay, here's our starting place. Mm-hmm. We see the reality of where we're starting. And we're going to move from here. JJ's going to come up and talk about our embrace section, then I'll be back and we'll talk about engage. Okay. All right.
Okay, the next section you'll see there, still on page 26, a little over 27. You see where it says embrace? See that? Okay, so basically what we do in this particular section, this is where we really try to put on the hat of a missionary, right? And we're trying to look out and we're trying to learn all we can about the communities where our church is located, the people that live in that community. And some of the things that we'll look at, as you see here on this particular page, is we'll look at what are some of the barriers that we see in our community when it comes to the gospel. What's getting in the way? And then we don't want to stop there. We want to try to find solutions. So then we try to look at, okay, what are some bridges that we can begin to leverage to overcome the barriers that we see in our community to the gospel? And then thirdly, you'll see there, we come up with the actions. This is where we say, okay, here's what we are going to do. To help with this, what we do is there's, go to a slide here where you can, the next one, let me pull that one up. We'll skip that one. Is you can request information on your community. Now, we want this to kind of go through the pastor, or at least keep the pastor in the loop. That way it's not a request coming from like a lay person, then a pastor, because behind the scenes it costs to get all the information. And so we just want to coordinate when we're getting, communicating one report to a church. But you can request for free information about your community and get all that information where you can kind of figure out then, okay, what are some of the barriers that we're seeing here? Sometimes the barriers can be in other religions that are in your community, you'll have to be thinking about interfaith evangelism in those type of situations. Sometimes we get out west, for example, we were up there and a lot of Mormons, and they're trying to figure out, okay, well, that's a barrier. Okay, well, what's the bridge that you can kind of come up with to try to leverage to get there? So you're just trying to think. Sometimes it could be racial barriers that might be there. You know, it might be a segregated community or whatever the case may be, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what's some common ground between this people group and this people group? You know what I mean? So you're trying to think about that. So there's a lot of different, just trying to give you some examples that you will see on the report. And what you're trying to do in this particular phase, again, is to learn all you can about the community where you are, figure out what's getting in the way, all right, figure out what some of the bridges are, and then those are going to be your actions. Does that make sense? Everybody follow me so far? I apologize if I'm talking fast. We got a couple more sections to go through.
Slide on this, you
have a graph? No, that slide is not actually. So you might want to, if you want to, snap a photo of it, you can order it later, but it's not on that drive. But you can go to nam.net/demographics. And get it as well, or use that QR code. Okay? All right, let me take you to the next one. So under the embrace phase, we call that the first one that we just dealt with was embracing your community. All right, embracing your community. The next phase under the embrace section is what we call embracing a plan. Okay? I have a plan for how we're going to engage our community with the gospel. And so in this particular section, and this is just an easy way to remember it, we try to get you to think about, okay, what are some tools that we could use, what type of training approach we could use, and then we try to think about getting it on the calendar. So remember those three T's there: tools,
training, and time. All right? Now, so on your booklet here, you'll see where it says choose evangelism tools. All right? So this is where you're researching. And again, I encourage you to think contextually. All right? Because one tool might work well in your community. Another tool may not. Does that make sense? So you want to think about, okay, what's the best approach? And so here are some options that are on our website that you can go and get. They're like one free per church, some of those, like Three Circles and Best News and Who's Your One. You can order those. But just giving you some options. Again, as Tim mentioned earlier, and it's also in your resource catalog in the book here. But as Tim mentioned earlier, you may have a tool, or you may prefer a tool that KBC produces, or whatever the case is. The goal is not for you to get a tool that we created that's from the North American Mission Board. The goal is that you have a tool, all right? Or tools. Some churches I know would say, okay, we're doing Three Circles, and that's going to be our number one tool. We're training everybody on Three Circles, and that's what we're going to do quarterly, or whatever the case may be. Other churches I've seen where they say, okay, we're going to do Three Circles, we're going to do Best News, we're going to do Four Spiritual Law, we're going to do No Sweat Advantage. And we're going to let all these tools, and the people can just choose which one works instead of forcing one tool on everybody. Do whatever works in your context. We just want you to think through that and figure out what tools you want to use. Now, when it comes to training, think like this. So all training can really be kind of categorized into four, under four umbrellas. The first umbrella would be what we would call learner-driven. You ever read something, learn how to do something right now? I'm trying to learn something like that at my house. I'm going to read a manual and I'm trying to learn something. So that's one way. All right. Another way is where you can learn something through content. Like right now, this is what we call content training, where you're sitting here and I'm pushing out content to you. Another training is mentor type training, where someone's with you for a season and you're pouring into them, whatever the case may be. And then fourth is what we call experience driven training. All right. And so what we say is, hey, think of a training method that's going to be effective in your context. It may be one of those, it may be all of those, it may be two of those, it may be three of those. Does that make sense? But you're trying to think through, okay, what type of approach are we going to use once we pick our tools to equip our people? Does that make sense? All right, so that's why you see on here as well where it talks about training opportunities. And then that third T is what we call time. That's making time for it. That's baking it into the calendar of the church and making sure it's going to get done. Here's what I like to say when it comes to the time piece. Don't think addition, just think about redeeming. So for example, if you have a set aside time where people are already gathered, already, then try to just make the best use of the time. You know, like going back to that text. But instead of like adding another, you know, thing for them to come to, because it's already, it's going to be a challenge to do on Sunday, right? Sometimes, right? And so just think about, okay, how can we leverage what we're already doing and just kind of focus some focus in there when it comes to training on certain tools. Does that make sense? And so that's what we talked about under the embrace section. So let me kind of recap that real quick. So the embracing your community is the first phase there, all right? That's when you're getting information, trying to learn all you can about your community, sticking like a missionary. Or they go over to Rock is a missionary, right? That's right. Try to learn all you can about this particular people group. What are the barriers? What are some bridges? And here's what we're going to do. Here's the action. Then you get your tools. Okay, what tools are we going to utilize in our context to train our people and have ongoing training, not one and done, but ongoing, all right? And then you're thinking about, okay, what's going to be our training approach? What are we going to do? How are we going to do that? What's that going to look like? And when we're going to do it, all right? Is it quarterly? Is it semi-annual? Is it monthly? Is it, you know, then what day, then what time? Just thinking through all of that, all right? And what you'll see on the embrace section as a third thing, and you'll have to dive into this here later on and look at it, but we talk about embracing the challenge. Because once you do all that, now you got to go and confront the challenge. The challenge is moving people away from their own agenda and towards God. And that is quoting him, all right? So we give you some best practices to just try to kind of help you navigate that, embracing that challenge. Okay? Got it? All right, good.
You can hold that right there.
Okay.
Okay. So, let me mention a couple of things. As a way of a reminder, what we're talking about here, it's not a program. It's not a conference. This is more of a philosophy that's integrated in life of the church than another program that you infuse into a section of the church. This is not talking about one aspect of the church, it's the church as a whole. Our goal is here and our aim is that if someone is a part of our church family, they understand that the priority for us is that we're going to share the gospel. We want people to know Jesus. If God's put us in the community with people around us who don't know Jesus, He put us here so that they could know Him. And we're going to be the instrument that God uses to share the gospel. So we're infusing this in every aspect of the church. So just like JJ just talked about, when you identify some barriers in the community, between the community and the church, you identify some bridges, you put together some action plans. All of that's to help you put together this plan for integrating the gospel in every part of your church. So whether that's children's ministry, student ministry, senior adult ministry, the worship service, the small groups, whatever you're doing, the priority is evangelism. So when you start thinking about that, then that's why this circle is so important, is because in this next section with engage, you're engaging your people at every level. Okay? Every level. For example, you think about engaging one, provide them with a prayer plan, a way to pray for the lost. It's not just giving them a plan and say, go do it. It's you actually put together a plan and you put it into play in the life of the church. Let me just give you a few examples to think about. Ask yourself this question. How often in your public gatherings, whether it's worship gathering, small groups, Wednesday nights, is there built into the program where you're going to pray for people who don't know Jesus by name as a church? Okay. Most of our churches, that happens very little. Maybe on Wednesday night if you have a prayer gathering still. But it should happen all the time. All the time. In our staff meetings, and on Tuesdays, we'd have a host of them, like one right after the other. But we'd have a whiteboard at the front. When our staff would walk into staff meeting, first thing you do is walk to the whiteboard, write names of lost people that you know that you're praying for. We'd start every staff meeting, even if you were in all six in a row, praying for lost people by name. In my personal, my prayer journal, every single day, I write down names of people that I know that God's put in my path that are lost that need to know Jesus. Now, when you do that, a couple of things happen. Obviously, you know that God answers prayer, and He works in the heart of the lost as well as the heart of those who are saved.
Yes.
What I know God's done in my own heart is when you're praying for somebody every day, and 3 months down the line, you bump into them at the grocery store, the first thing on my mind is, this is the person I've been lifting to Jesus. Now I need to take Jesus to them.
Yeah.
Somehow this conversation needs to get to the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's on my heart. The Holy Spirit won't leave me alone about it. Okay? But we have to engage our people and bring for the lost. Give them confidence and encouragement. The other thing is, in the times when we do pray, is allow people to share personal stories of praying for the lost and God answering prayer. You may not be the one that actually leads them to Jesus. That's okay. In fact, I've got an uncle who's very self-sufficient. I've known him for over 40 years. You know, I'm buried into the family, but he is hard-headed. He expects me to share the gospel. He can easily cast me aside. I pray right now for God to put somebody in his life that he respects, that's a believer. Now, I'll tell you, I went to see him just a couple of months ago, met him for lunch, him, my aunt, and had a conversation. Usually, the moment I start talking about Jesus, he starts cussing and being very sarcastic about the gospel. This time he didn't say anything. He just stopped talking as soon as I started talking about the gospel, which I thought was an improvement. You know, I called my wife on the way home. I said, well, I didn't get cussed out this time. He didn't need an answer at all. But here's what it was funny. While we're wrapping up lunch, my aunt said, hey, your uncle's brother got saved. And I said, they're partners in their business. They've owned this business their whole lives. And I'm like, well, maybe that's the guy that I've been praying for. That God put in his life to lead him to Jesus. Man, that's an encouraging story. You see, I've been praying for him to get saved. What happens? I mean, it 68 years old. His brother did some. You know, phenomenal. And now there's another witness going to be poured into his life. So encourage him to do that. So provide a prayer plan, a couple of things. Pray for Lost by Name. Pray for an opportunity to start conversations. In other words, pray that the Lord will open a way for you to share the word. Lord, make a way. Make a way. I remember I was praying with my neighbor about that, and I was like, Lord, just give me an opportunity. You know, just give me an opportunity. And a guy that we both knew died suddenly of heart. We got him everything this world could offer. He didn't need him nothing. Died. And this guy knew him. I knew him. Pulls in my driveway on his golf cart. Beats on the door. He says, hey, you got a minute? I need to talk to you. Sure. He says, man, did you know he died? What's on the other side of death? I was like, well, there you go. The door is open, right? And that's what I've been praying for. Pray for boldness.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah. When Paul's talking about the armor of God, we're talking about our great enemy, as he goes into that, he comes out of that, says, pray for me also. And he mentions boldness twice in that passage. Give me boldness with the gospel. We need to pray for that. Pray the Holy Spirit. Give us the right words. What to say. And give us the courage to say them. Now, a couple things. In that guide, there's the Hoosier One prayer guide. I don't know if y'all use Hoosier One. It's a great tool to help encourage your people to pray for lost people and engage in conversations with lost people. Got a church really close to my house with about 1,300 people. They just discovered there was a Hoosier One about 4 months ago. It's been out since 2017, isn't that right? 2018. They just discovered it, started using it. He texted me twice this week. Man, let me tell you what God's doing in our church. I'm loving it. So it is a good resource and a good help. Second thing, encourage gospel conversations. You got to give opportunities for your people to start those gospel conversations, mm-hmm. pointing people to Jesus, and then celebrate it when they have it. Yeah. And so I just encourage you to do that. So you can provide conversation starters, like how to get into the gospel. Just a few that we'll throw up on the screens. Have any spiritual beliefs? It's a good way to get into it. Do you mind that if I ask you a question? Has anyone ever told you that Jesus loves you? Do you attend church? Can I share my story with you? I saw a teenager today in the airport, and she blew by me, but I recognized the shirt. And her church had put it, she says, can I tell you my story? And it's all it says on it. But I know where it's going. To give her courage and an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus. Now listen, you can put together a list in your context. My father-in-law, wherever you're eating, you just say, hey, do you know how to get to heaven from McDonald's? Do you know how to get to heaven from Burger King? Do you know how to get to heaven from Smokey Bones? And you're like, that's the corniest thing I've ever heard. But I can tell you, I was with him multiple times, and he would not believe how many times he went through the whole gospel, starting it with that one question. Okay, we've got a guy on our trustee team. He's 80 years old. Here's his question. He asks people, "Hey, you know what the best decision has ever made in my life? Can you guess what it is?" And people are like, "When you got married? When you got a job? When you went to college?" "No, no, no." They're like, "How old are you?" He's like, "I'm 80. What is it?" "I'm glad you asked." And then he just walks through the gospel. That helps people, okay, know how to get through a gospel conversation. Help them identify opportunities. And that's just, you know, sometimes people are oblivious to opportunities that God gives you.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be at the gas pump. Somebody says, "Man, this is the worst week of my life." That's an opportunity to point somebody to Jesus. And then, the other thing that I would encourage you to do is preach and teach lessons on evangelism. Now, you can do that with specific evangelism texts, like the Great Commission. Don't avoid those. Preach them. But also build them into sermons over and over again. Anytime there's an opportunity to point people and remind them the reason you're here is to share the gospel. It's not to make them feel guilty. That's not the point of this whole deal. The deal is not guilt, confidence. Confidence in the gospel. You don't have to have this dynamic personality.
Yeah.
a sincere heart and love for the Lord and for people, God will use you, and He saves. He still saves. And it's remarkable to see. But I encourage you to preach and teach lessons on evangelism. Focus on evangelism. It integrated in the points. Don't ever avoid it. Listen, I know, being a pastor, well, John, I know people want you to move on to something else. You stay focused. I remember I had an attorney in our church call me one day, a good friend of mine. And he was just telling me that they were going to move to another church. And I said, all right, Mark, what's the deal? He said, you're too evangelistic. Now, there's no way you can be too evangelistic.
No.
Right? No way. He wasn't evangelistic at all. And so it just made me feel guilty when every time we're talking about it, some people say, and he could be, but he wasn't. But don't give up on it. So, let's see, I'm just walking through this quickly, but let me just make sure I've covered all, everything I want to do. Oh, the other thing is, in your small groups, make sure when you think about your small groups and your Bible studies, like you may have a, you may be walking through the Gospel of Mark, you're walking through Ephesians. Anytime there's an opportunity to help your teachers highlight personal evangelism, help them do that. Just send them a reminder, hey, in this one section, make sure we talk about sharing the gospel with people around us and looking for opportunities to do that. And then look for stories within the church that people can share. Here's one thing that's really helpful when you talk about building the culture of evangelism is when people see other lay people sharing the gospel and hearing their stories, it helps them become more comfortable. Like, what's not the pastor doing all this? This is us. And I'm just convinced the need is so great. Right now there's an estimated 281 million lost people in North America. Okay? I don't care where you go. The South, the Northeast, Northwest, Southwest. Everywhere you go, people say about 70% of our community is lost. Okay? A lot of church buildings, but a lot of lost people. So what we want to encourage our people to do is listen. We need everyone shining the light.
Yeah.
If it's just the pastor taking the gospel, it's an overwhelming task. But when all the body of Christ is mobilized and equipped to share the gospel, it's amazing what can happen.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if y'all have done this on like Christmas Eve. We'd have Christmas Eve service, candlelight, and you know, I'd light the candle on stage, and we'd start lighting, and everybody, it just da-da-da-da. When there's just one candle, if there's a bright light in the darkness. But it's not nearly as bright when everyone has a light and they're all holding it up, you know. When we're kids, we sing a song. This little light of mine, I'm doing what? Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hiding under a bushel? No. But I'm afraid far too many of us are hiding the light under a bushel in the midst of a very dark world. And what we need is the bushels removed and the lights to shine for the glory of God. And this is going to happen when we can continually engage our churches with the gospel, giving them, again, confidence in the gospel, and then comfort and share it. All right? So that's that section. All right. Encourage.
Okay. All right. So on page 28, on the page section, Tim just kind of walked you through. Gave you a lot of good ideas and stuff like that. This is where you would map out whatever you just talked about, whatever that looks like in your context. This is where you might map out your prayer plan, your CSI, how you're going to encourage gospel conversations, sermons and lesson plans, and content that you utilize in small groups. This is where you look at that. All right. This is the when you look at this book, there's a lot of as you walk through it and you watch these videos, whether you do it online or on the thumb drive. There's questions as you go along for each section. Grace, engage, etc. But everything is moving to your personalized, contextualized game plan for your church right here in these spaces. That's why I keep going back to this. Now, the last section is the encourage section, okay? And under the encourage section, what we try to really focus on is number one, we want to be intentional about encouraging our people. All right. The reason why we want to do that is because number one, we want to prioritize evangelism. All right, and also we want to inspire hope and the power of the gospel. All right, we live in a dark world. The days are evil. Paul talked about Ephesians 5:18. And so we want to inspire hope in the proper gospel. And so those are some reasons of why we need to be very intentional. Keep it on the front burner. Paul did that, the same thing with Timothy. Do the work, Timothy, of an evangelist, right? And so we want to be encouraging and be intentional, all right? Secondly, not only intentional, but we want to be strategic in how we go about encouraging our folks. Tim alluded to a couple of those just a moment ago. So for example, you could say, okay, we're going to leverage when people in our church, we see any movement, going back to that definition of Henry Black, moving people away from their own agenda and towards God's agenda. So if you're a ministry leader, all right, and you're seeing movement happen, all right, or you're hearing people are coming to you, hey, man, I started praying for my friend, or I had this gospel conversation with this person, or we had our neighbors over, or so, whatever you hear, all right? Okay, you say, all right, I'm going to celebrate any movement that I see in the lives of my people. All right, so I'm going to be strategic in that, because guess what? When you're the pastor, it's like they expect it, right? Right? It hits different when it's one of their peers out here in their share. Yeah. So you say, okay, I'm going to get testimonies of folks that are moving. Or I'm going to, one day during one of my services, I'm going to bring them up and interview them about how did they start the engaging their neighbor, and how did they end up, how did you get into the gospel? And just letting them share. All right, you're just trying to figure out ways to celebrate that. Another thing is new life in Christ. Man, I'm gonna be strategic about celebrating, letting them share their testimony. I've seen churches. Do we have those videos on here?
I think they are.
Okay, we might have them on. If I do, I'll let you
know. I know we have some pictures.
Okay, if we have them, I'll show it to you. So here's an example as well. And notice this visit. It's where everybody can see it. So for example, this church. They put a display case out. The white balls indicate people that they were praying for. All right. The orange balls indicated those who had accepted Christ out of that group that they were praying for. So they're just keeping it in front of them. Every time they come into church, they're seeing, okay, I got a white ball in there. I'm praying for this person. At some point, they have that gospel conversation. But they're celebrating the white balls. They're celebrating the orange balls. I mean, they're celebrating that movement. All right, that's happening. Let's see another slide here. What we got? This is just a visual of the church where they're just keeping it. Who's your one? Who's the person that God's put on your heart to reach? This is, if you don't have the money for a case and all this other fancy stuff, some churches just get a cross. All those white sticky notes are just like those white ping pong balls, people that they're praying for. This church, they're not only celebrating the salvations. White is prayer. I think green is gospel conversations. So they're celebrating that. And then also celebrating blue, those who came to faith in Christ, okay? But again, it's visual, it's out there where everybody can see it, it's visible, it's intentional, and it's strategic. Does that make sense? And so what we're saying is a big part of it is encouraging, all right? Don't forget that piece, all right? Trying to encourage. Let's see if we got anything else. Is that the last one on there? Okay, that's another one. Let's see if there's another. That's it. Okay, cool, no problem. All right, so again, back to this. Page 29. This is where you would map out how you're going to be intentional, how you're going to be strategic, and how you're going to celebrate Jesus. You would map that out right here for your particular ministry. Okay? That's what that is. So again, as I mentioned, and I know you're drinking from fireworks. I mean, it's just a lot that's coming at you right now. You're going to have some time to process all this. But this is the game plan. Like, if we want every church to have a plan in place. When they leave these trainings, or they can go back to the church and at least have a skeleton, and then they go back and fill out even more. But this is the game plan that we're pushing towards. Does that make sense? Any questions, Tim? Anything you want to add on that?
It's extremely helpful. Listen, again, here's the point is, it's a culture. Yeah. It's a cultural evangelism. It's like a new coach going into a new team, and the team is just thunking up. New coach comes in. A month later, they're getting players. If you listen to them, a lot of times what they'll say is, what did he bring? What did he teach y'all? He just created a new culture. You can create that in the life of the church, even if a church has not been evangelistic. Don't give up hope.
Yeah.
There's a bright light. Now, you don't have to wait on everybody. Okay, if you wait on everybody to be evangelistic, you'll be waiting your whole life.
Yeah.
You're going to go to the grave still waiting. Right? You just take who will go with you, and you go. You go. But it can happen. And I'm convinced that if, as leaders, pastors, people in the life of the church who have a heart for evangelism and say, man, we're going to take up the reins. We're going to burn bright. But we're not just going to try to do this ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want to create a culture in our church. So that if the lost person's around you, they're going to hear the gospel from this body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're going to share the hope that's found in Jesus.
Yeah.
It's only found. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, a couple things. One, there's an app that's called Life on Mission, right? Life on Mission. Everybody have that? Have y'all seen that? But it has three circles and best news on it. And the reason I tell you that, you might want to tell your people about it, but you can put it on your phone, and if you're sitting somewhere and you have a conversation, all of a sudden, the opportunity to share the gospel, you can just click on that app, and you can use three circles or best news. And best news is basically walking through the Romans Road. And it's real simple. I love it because it's very direct. And so if you got just a few minutes, gives you something, you can just walk through it. And actually somebody doesn't even know, they say, I don't even know what to say. You can just read it. You can just read it to the person and flip the screen and it gives you an opportunity to walk them through the gospel. That will be helpful. The other thing is this kit, and I hope that you'll sit down and just take the time to go through it because you really need to just think about it. That plan that Teddy was talking in the back is your plan. We're just giving you a guide to help create it.
Yeah.
And what you know, your context, your culture, where you're at, your community, you know all that better than we do. They're all different, okay? So just work the plan, put together a plan, be intentional about it. I think that's the biggest thing. If we just say, well, I'm just going to kind of let it happen naturally, it's not naturally going to happen. It's a supernatural thing for sure. And the flesh runs from any opposition, and the winds of culture are blowing strong against the gospel. We call it evangelizing, the world calls it proselytizing, and they won't have anything to do with it, right? So you've got to be intentional about it. The other thing is, we have this kit right now. It's being produced for students, for Gen Sim, students and collegiate. I mentioned we already have the Spanish kit and the other languages, and then also, Catherine Renfro, we'll let her share with you in a few minutes about what we're doing for women's evangelism. And so it's really important that we even help train our ladies in how to share the gospel with ladies they encounter. So Kathy, come on up and say a word to us about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, just like what Tim said, our heart is just to equip people to share the hope of the gospel. It's what we're passionate about. And a lot of times we want to see people come to know Jesus. It's why we've given our lives to what we have. And so we have produced an online course that follows this same process for creating a culture of evangelism, but it's contextualized specifically for women. The reason behind this is we've talked to women all across North America who are leading in different ministry areas, and one of the things that we're hearing from these ladies specifically is that they've never thought about using their gatherings, whether it's a ladies' Bible study, whether it's a women's ministry event, whether it's a mission talk, whatever it may be that women are doing, they've never thought about leveraging those gatherings to not only invite people to know Jesus, but also to equip those that they're serving and leading to go out and live life on mission and have conversations about Jesus in everyday moments of life. And so in April, this course is going to go live online for women who are leading in ministry areas. So that will help those who are leading in ministry areas really be able to create this culture of evangelism in their own ministry context. So they're equipping ladies. The other thing that we created and just put out this past month is an ebook. And if you want to let ladies in your church know about this, if you text the word ebook, E-B-O-O-K, no dash in between, to 888-123, you'll get a link to it. It's just a quick, simple resource that's designed to help everyday ladies really see and look into their calling to be a part of what God's doing to expand his kingdom as they're sharing the hope of the gospel. But then also to really help them identify their mission field. Where has God placed them? Whether it's in the neighborhood where they live, maybe it's their kids are on a sports team and they're there, where they shop, no matter where it is in our context, where has God placed us? For any follower of Jesus, God has us in specific places on purpose for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want ladies to see like God has placed you around people to share the gospel with. And so we want to help them identify their specific mission field And then just give practical tips and helps for them to start these conversations, just like what Tim and JJ talked about specifically in the engage portion, how to go about getting into conversations with people, how to turn a conversation from talking about you name the subject to being able to talk about Jesus. And so I think with just the smallest amount of intentionality, any follower of Jesus can bring Jesus, their faith, maybe something they're doing at their church into a conversation that can lead to God just doing incredible work. So we just want to see ladies be a part of what God is doing in that context. What we know is in any given church, 50 to 60% of the people there are ladies. And so imagine, while obviously pastors, you're equipping and mobilizing the entire church, but what if we could help this 50 to 60% see that, no, God wants to use you. And not only does he want to, but he will use you if you're just simply willing and available. And so that's a heartbeat. And any way that we can serve, we've got evangelism trainings for ladies. We've got an evangelism conference coming up at the North American Mission Board on April 8th and 9th. We'll do webinars and other resources that will come out just to help. So anything we can do to serve, that's our heartbeat. We just want to serve you all. And so reach out. And we're praying for you as you lead. We're very grateful. So,
hey, the last thing I'd say is, again, a reminder. Texting newsletter to 888-123 or signing up for that. It's really helpful. Anything we discover, and we might get it from Kentucky or from California or from New England. We hear something that's, man, God's using, we're going to share it. It doesn't need to come from us. It's just coming from the feet of what's happening in the lives of people. And so it's just a great way to continue to get ideas, stories, opportunities, things that people are using to engage their faith in the gospel. And the bottom line is, we just pray that God will use you and use your church family to impact your community with the gospel. Obviously, we don't say if God does, but he's chosen to use us to share the message of hope. And so, any way we can help serve you, help you with that in the life of your church, we are here to serve you, and we're grateful to do it. So, thanks for your time. I know this has been like rapid fire, but I hope it's been good just a little bit to kind of whet your appetite, give you an overview of what this is about. And if you've got any questions that you're going to get, just send them my way. All right? God bless you. Thank you so much.